And welcome to the midday for a Thursday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and this is one of those 125th anniversary years, as it turns out. I guess started, 2010, 2011. The Varsity Band, and that's actually just one of the several entities that we'll be getting into with my guest today, Mike Leckrone. Welcome.
Thank you much, Norman. It's always fun to be here.
And you have some distinctions to your credit. Are you the senior-most member of the University of Wisconsin School of Music? You go back 42 years now?
I believe I am. I don't think anybody's been there longer than I have. And I'm very pleased to say I have the longest tenure as director of the Wisconsin Band over that 125 years.
I would say so. It started out as a just kind of a little group of about 15 or so.
Actually, it was 11. First group, 11 players. And the next year, in 1886, it jumped up to 16 people. And it was slowly evolved after that.
And so you've had the helm since 1969?
That's right.
And you have run through how many hundreds of students, do you suppose, since then?
You know, it's in the thousands. I know you run through a couple hundred students every year, and after 42 years, it really mounts up. And I've got students who have grandchildren who are approaching the time where they might be coming to college, and that's kind of scary.
That would be a little bit scary. The difference between the varsity band and the marching band is that the marching band becomes the varsity band when it's not marching?
I often say it's the marching band sitting down. But it changes slightly. We have students who graduate mid-year, and so it's a little bit smaller, but it's basically around 280 people who were in the marching band, went to the Rose Bowl, did all the things that we've done all year long.
So the Rose Bowl, you said, actually, was a win for the University of Wisconsin.
Not only the band, but I think the fans. After the game was over, we did the fifth quarter, and there was an attitude. I know some of the Texas Christian people very nicely said, "Don't you folks know that you lost the game?" And we said, "It doesn't matter. We believe in celebrating the fact that we're here."
So I have to ask a really basic question here before we hear some of your recordings, and that has to do with, how do you actually choreograph these things? How do you communicate with, how do you tell any individual person out there on the field, go left, six steps, go forward, dot the I? How do you actually?
Well, we don't dot the I, it's done very scientifically, I would like to think. Every student in the band will have a chart, a piece of paper that has instructions on it. It has a picture of what you're going to be in, a picture of where you're going to be next, and then there's a set of instructions that says you take so many steps, just as you said. You take eight steps forward, eight steps to your right. We have our own terminology, obviously, that we use, but everybody can read that. And theoretically, you could stand in the middle of a football field by yourself and run through your routine by the instructions, if I do my job of putting it down on paper correctly.
And so they memorize all this, I assume?
Yeah. What they start by looking at it. We run through without music, and then they take their music and mark the music according to when they start moving in a particular direction. And then after a few repetitions, and I put few in quotes, they have the show in hand.
Well, let's hear some from the varsity band in concert. This would have been, this takes us back 10 years, actually. And it's a Malaguena, and you would have been the conductor for this occasion. Michael Leckrone, with the University of Wisconsin Kohl Center being the venue.
We're going to start off with a tune, an old Latin American tune by a Cuban named Ernesto Lecuona. And Stan Ken got a hold of it. This is a tune called Malaguena. We'll be right back.
always have a nice audience for a band concert like that. Sometimes as many as 20,000 or more, actually.
It's been very gratifying, the people that come to hear just us play, not watch a team play basketball or hockey or football.
And that was your arrangement of the Malagueña by Lecuona.
Yes. It's kind of based on an old Stan Kenton arrangement, but we can't play those arrangements. That's too good a band, so we arranged it for our group.
It's a very different kind of band, and Stan Kenton was the biggest of the big bands, I guess, in a way.
Well, he was the last of the great big bands. I mean, he came on later in that period of time. He came on, he didn't even start his band until about 1941 or so, at the time the war broke out. So he was at the tail end of it, but he was huge because of the war years and the way he got covered all through the nation, and then with war years. He may have been the biggest in terms of, he had almost the entire the scene to himself.
And I had maybe a more analytical or almost even cerebral approach, I guess, sometimes to music.
Yes. One of his thoughts was that eventually he wanted to get the big band, the jazz ensemble, out of the dance hall where people were just dancing to it, and get it in the concert hall where people would have to listen and enjoy what he thought his good musicians were playing, and they were sometimes ignoring because they were just dancing.
So how many arrangements do you suppose you've made in your 42 years?
That's a great question. I ought to look at some. I can tell you this. I have two filing cabinets filled with scores, as much as I can jam into them. These are five-drawer filing cabinets, just as jammed full as they can be. And, you know, we do, with considering the marching band, we probably do, I'd say probably somewhere around 30 to 40 arrangements a year for just the band to play. And then there are incidental things that I do around and I've done for other people. So it's something I enjoy doing, obviously, or I would have quit a long time ago, but it sure has taken up a lot of music paper.
And how do you decide? I mean, do you just every now and then stumble across something and say, oh, you know, this may be a piano piece, or this may be a piece for a small ensemble, but it would something clicks and you think this would make a great band arrangement?
That's pretty much it. You'll hear something. I mean, it can be sometimes just a vocal thing, and you say, that really could be an instrumental. A lot of vocal things don't transcribe very well instrumentally, but you can hear something that has the chord structure and so forth. And of course, I'm very fond of the classic songwriters. I mean, you get George Gershwin, Cole Porter, Irving Berlin. I mean, it makes arranging easy when you get to those guys.
So exactly where are you when you are directing a band in a place like the Rose Bowl? How do you communicate with the band once they're on the field?
Well, I traditionally will stand on a ladder about the 50-yard line, and I'll have a couple of assistants to my right and to my left and on the back side of the field. And I'm communicating the basic pulse and trying to get the band to remember the expressive things that we're trying to do in the music, commanding the basic pulse in the center of the band, and everybody's more or less following me. It's kind of tricky because there is actually a time delay. You get from the 10-yard line to the far 10-yard line, there's enough time delay that if students aren't made aware of it, and if I'm not made aware of it, it can cause the band to pull. We call that phasing in the marching band business. You start to phase around.
I guess that's a big consideration in any kind of large outdoor venue, whether it's a symphony orchestra or a band. You have to, for example, if you're doing like the 1812 Overture with fireworks, you really have to time it a little bit differently than you might think.
Students learn who are on the outskirts of the band, they learn if they can't see a conductor to try to catch the feet of the people in the middle of the field, because they know their feet are going to be creating a correct pulse. And they learn to do that. And it's one of those little subtleties a lot of people don't think about, but we have to think about it, or it just doesn't work.
And once they're on that field, though, you don't really have, they don't have line of sight, so they can't actually watch you.
No, they can't watch me. They can't watch like you would watch a normal conductor. Mm-hmm. We have to take care of most of that in the rehearsal situation. Say, we want you to make sure this is softer, this is legato. That has to be worked out ahead of time. So it's a lot more structure than a lot of people think. That I kiddingly around, some people think that my job entails me to just go up on a ladder and say, make a W, and that's the end of it. That's the end of it. But there's more to it than that.
Well, here you're going to make a W as in Wagner. This is another one of your arrangements. And it's Elsa's Procession, familiar to many a bride and groom, no doubt. This is the marching band, in this case, with conductor and arranger and guest today, Mike Leckron. Bit of tailoring there from the band director.
Right, it's the Wisconsin band. We put our signature on it.
And how many concerts do you suppose you play in a year?
Well, we with the marching band, the varsity band, we do about 12 or 15 concerts out and about the state during the course of the second semester once the football season is over. And of course, we do concert every Saturday prior to the game, and it'll be in the new Union South next year. We're looking forward to that. And then we do the three that we do at the tail end of the year. It's this Thursday, Friday, and tonight, as a matter of fact, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And undoubtedly know we have five concert groups in the band department. That's the other thing, that the band department has grown to not only just be the marching band, but we have five concert groups. We have about 700 students in the total enrollment of the band program. So you take all those groups, which each one of them do three or four concerts each semester as a part of their classwork. And so we're performing almost weekly. There's a band playing a concert someplace during the course of the year.
And how is it decided who is going to go into the marching band as opposed to one of those others?
Well, each of the groups, the top groups, the marching band, the concert band, and what we call the wind ensemble, each has an audition procedure. And everybody, you can audition, you can play in one of the concert groups and the marching band, but you have to, you'll try out for it, and then you'll be placed in it. And the tryout procedure, all from obviously each year, has gotten more and more stringent. We were able to make much more of a selective process as we do each one of them, which is good for the ultimate quality of the group.
Just a tougher competition. So, I mean, if somebody has two left feet, how do you discover that?
It's very easy. No, that's the easiest part. And I think it's probably the part that where most of the people that I get that here, they play well enough. I mean, if most of them had a great high school band experience, a good high school band experience, and their performance technique on their instrument usually is more than adequate for what I would require for the band. It's that coordination of being able to walk and play, well, march and play, and do all those things, and look somewhat graceful doing it. That's where we sort of separate the people as we're trying it out.
And the uniforms don't always look like they'd be conducive to, you know, great comfort when you're out there going through all those.
They're wool. And in August, you know that they're wool.
Well, that's kind of baptism by fire. They're a trial by fire.
Right.
All right. You've said this is not exactly the way Aaron Copland wrote this either.
No. Actually, it's our version. Woody Herman got a hold of it. He made it much more of a rock thing than I did. We were talking about how you get ideas. I had heard the Woody Herman version, and I said, well, we can't really do that because it's a jazz thing. But I took some of the elements of it and gave it sort of a little different beat. And I'm told, and I've read, that Aaron Copland heard Woody Herman's version and was satisfied that it was okay.
Uh-huh.
I think he also pleased with the royalty checks that came in as a result of it. But so if he liked Woody Herman's, he'll probably like ours because ours isn't as far out as Woody's was.
If only we could play it for him. But this is Fanfare for the Common Man, and this takes us back to the Varsity Band.
Thank you.
All right, was that a little bit of On Wisconsin?
I heard you caught it. You caught it. A little bit in a minor mode, but you caught it. That's right.
Well, as you say, Mike, not exactly the way Copeland wrote it, but it's actually not that far off except for the rhythm.
Right. It's basically his structure put with a little sort of a Latin rock rhythm underneath it.
I got a kick out of reading about this 125th anniversary celebration, some of the backstory, which says that the band began performing at football games in 1894, which right away is just kind of mind-boggling to think they've been at it that long, and that you've been at it for almost half of that time. but we won't go there.
No, let's.
That to gather crowds for the game, the musicians would often perform in open streetcars. So they kind of served as, barkers for the games.
It's really interesting to see what, in fact, is. There was a member of the football team who marched with the band at pregame and then would take off his band uniform and do the football game. His name was Ikey Carroll, became a probate judge in Milwaukee County. So he was pretty famous at the time.
That would be a pretty impressive double duty there to kind of do the Superman
That's
thing.
Right.
He actually literally peeled off his band uniform and there was the football. You know, you couldn't do that anymore, let's face it.
No, on either end, I don't think.
So is there a slack time for you and the bands? I would guess summer, but in a way, that's a great time to be outdoors playing, too.
Well, actually, we don't do much organized stuff after commencement is probably the last time we have really any obligations. We do play all five commencement ceremonies. But after that, the band does some things at various communities during the summertime, but it's mostly local kids who gather. It's rather informal. And, maybe 30 or 40 kids play at the festivals that are all over the state of Wisconsin during the summer times, and they'll play outdoors at some of those. But we try to keep that as low-key as possible because we start up again in middle of August. So the only really downtime we have is, from the middle of June to the beginning of August, and it starts all over.
Did you guys miss some away games in the football season last season? Do I remember that right? Was there one or two where the band didn't get there?
Well, the one thing we really wanted to do at the beginning of the season, we wanted to go to Las Vegas. We had been to Las Vegas every time that the football team had performed there. But the timing was terrible because it was Labor Day weekend in Las Vegas. It was booked solid. We couldn't get anyone to help us out with housing and those sort of things. Plus, the costs have just skyrocketed in the last few years. What we could go to Las Vegas for the last time we went, which was 2008, it was almost double
really?
What it
wow.
cost because of fuel costs and just what the economy's done to it. So it was a little prohibitive. So we were a little disappointed, but we saved that money and spent it on the Rose Bowl, so it made it all worthwhile.
That was a trade-off, and maybe you'll get to do that again
in the coming season.
Well, we'll be watching for you on in one venue or another, whether it's on television or on-site, one kind of event, game, or pony show or another.
We're, as people like to say, ubiquitous. We're everywhere.
Well, Mike Leckrone, thanks for coming in today and kind of catching us up on this 125th anniversary celebration. I should add that it's a 3-day celebration?
3 days. Starts tonight.
And that you can get tickets for some of these events that involve the bands, concert band, wind ensemble, varsity band, and, of course, the marching band being the flip side of it. And you can get tickets if you go to the website, of the
Badgerband.com.
Badgerband.com. Thank you. I was looking for that and not seeing it. And these events are all at the Cole Center?
Cole Center.
Yeah. Okay. So watch and listen for that. And always a pleasure, Mike.
My pleasure.